Bad thoughts do not hurt you. Good thoughts do not help you. Is that okay?
What are bad
thoughts?
Oh, wow. What are bad thoughts?
Any thoughts you want that you list as bad do not hurt you. I'm trying to here say, look, everything you've learned about the universe and all this crap that people have said, maybe that's all been wrong in the first place. Because everybody says, you know, your bad thoughts hurt you and only good thoughts and good attitudes are required for healing. Bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I went in for Dr. Singh recently, somebody said keep a good mental attitude.
Good mental attitude doesn't mean a damn. Is that okay with you, Karen?
Sure.
Well, I just blew everything you've ever learned about healing out of the water. Does anybody have any comments about that?
No,
that's
I
the way
agree.
It sounds. Oh, you agree, Simone?
Yes.
That's very interesting. Okay.
Why?
If anybody doesn't agree, this is participation. If you don't agree, lay it out there.
It's not that I don't agree. It sounds okay, but if somebody was to ask me how, why not, I wouldn't necessarily know how to explain that. So I don't disagree, but I got to think about how I will explain that. You know, we said before, can I just bring this as participation? I'll just throw something in there. It's like even in, forever living discussions before, we've talked about, I got to befool the mind so we don't have the inner patient working against the outer doctor. But I don't necessarily think that means that was a bad thought. It just means there was some mind something going on there.
Well, what's going on?
Someone is still in conflict with not living as they truly desire.
That doesn't mean squat.
Somehow.
That doesn't mean shit.
Does it mean shit?
No.
Okay. Well, I could imagine somebody feeling that they have an image of themselves in life that they do truly desire, or at least a sense of it, and then feeling or a sense of what they've been doing in their life has very little to do with that, and there's a frustration involved there. Or
doesn't mean a thing.
But when you try to avoid...
Why doesn't that mean a thing, Raj?
What?
Roger, why doesn't that mean a thing if I'm talking about how someone images and how someone feels?
Because I said bad thoughts don't hurt you.
I thought you said okay, that's fine. Got it.
What? I mean, you give up that easy?
I thought I hadn't described what I was trying to say.
I guess you haven't.
Now you're saying it doesn't.
You're just saying that the bad thoughts do hurt you. You haven't dealt with my statement. I'm saying bad thoughts don't hurt you and good thoughts don't help you. Thoughts or attitudes or emotions.
Well, yes, what I'm saying is I have a question about that simply because of, I guess, things I've heard like about the inner patient working against the outer doctor. You're saying that doesn't matter. That does surprise me, though.
Well, maybe you don't listen to what you're saying.
All right.
This is what this whole thing is about. Maybe you don't understand what you just said.
Okay, maybe I don't.
Okay.
Let me think about this.
Okay. Well, I'll leave you thinking about that. Anybody else want to comment?
So is what you're saying that if I have bad thoughts, and you know, I guess maybe we should even talk about bad thoughts, but let's say I'm thinking uncomfortable things, conflict things, struggle things, the universe happily reacts to me and in a sense mimics that stuff that I'm thinking. So it's not really hurting me. It's almost giving me exactly what I've asked for.
Wrong. Next.
Okay.
How the hell do you think that the universe reads your damn mind? And do you really think that the universe reads your mind?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. We covered that last week. The universe doesn't read minds. It reacts to you, but it reacts to you in terms of what you're doing, not what you're thinking, feeling, imagining, or
so then bad thoughts can't hurt you. But maybe you react to your own bad thoughts, and your reactions to those bad thoughts can hurt you.
Oh, because then I start doing certain emotions and physical reactions.
No. Emotions don't hurt you. Good emotions don't help you.
Hmm? Emotions?
Bad emotions don't hurt you, and good emotions don't hurt you. I help you.
What's the difference between a reaction and a thought?
Mm-hmm.
You tell me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm treating a reaction as something to react to. If you think something, what have I got to react to that?
That doesn't explain it. I'm reacting. The difference between me reacting and me thoughting.
Wait a minute. If that's the case, then you're reacting to your own thoughts. And if that's the case, then your reaction to your own thoughts can hurt you, or your reaction to your good thoughts can hurt you, but the thought per se does not.
But my reaction to my own thoughts is another thought.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but it could be.
It could be. Then if it's merely another thought, then in that regard, it's not going to help you or hurt you.
And what do we mean by help or hurt?
Hurt you in terms of thoughts do not and cannot create disease, illnesses, or afflictions. And help you means help cure them, fix them, change them, alter them.
So when somebody's doing cancer and they've got some overactive thing going on,
that's their action. That's, they've got an action going on, not necessarily a thought. So their reaction or your reaction to your own thoughts can be deadly to you, but the thoughts or the emotions or the feelings itself cannot help you or hurt you.
But so I remember you talking about Nora, and oh God, I can't remember the specifics, but it's my memory of what you talked about is that it was talking about her thoughts and reactions in an emotional sense that really was the,
no, she went out and did certain particular things, and those particular things or lack of doing particular things is what killed Nora.
But it was also her fretting over it.
It doesn't make any difference. Her fretting over it is why she did certain things. So it wasn't the fretting at all. It was what she did or how she reacted to her own fretting per se. If this is not true, then the universe does read your minds of fretting, concerning, upsetting. And how does that happen?
Don't know.
Well, maybe you don't know because it doesn't.
I have basically what they might call a conventional wisdom answer, that the thoughts that I have and the feelings that I have relative to those thoughts put out a vibe, vibrational frequency that the universe does interact with.
But then in that, then it's your reaction, isn't it?
Yes.
That's all I said.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. So, well, yeah, to be honest, I think more people tend to smooth that over with, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Okay, yep.
But this, if we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, don't play these damn cliches that everybody said. No.
No, let me...
I can think you're an asshole if I don't do anything about that. It's no effect on me.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Okay, so now I want to clarify one thing. I do want to clarify one thing here. So what you're saying is that thoughts themselves don't create a vibrational frequency in myself or my life. The thought itself.
No, I didn't say that. The thoughts themselves, you can respond to that. They don't create a vibration as such that the universe reacts to.
Right.
The universe reacts to your reaction of those thoughts.
Right, so I can have any thought I want, but I need not necessarily react in a particular way. I'm free to react any way I want to.
That's right. Now you see, we've changed everything that healing had or illnesses or problems has ever presented. Look at your reactions, what you're doing, not to how you're thinking.
That actually makes really good sense. I mean,
it puts the power back to you.
Right, it does.
Yeah.
And no good. Well, who was the guy? I can't remember his name. That did all the laughing and humor. He had an illness, and so then he did all the humorous things, figuring that humor and that kind of an attitude of his life would fix his illness. Well, it didn't. He died of it because his life outside of watching these junky movies and everything else was really crap.
Mm.
If you saw the movie, I can't remember what his name was.
Was it Norman Mailer?
No.
I don't remember. Okay.
And it was a kind of beginning of saying that humor and joy and pleasure and etc. Now, joy and pleasure and happiness does not, in and of itself, loving and compassionate does not, in and of itself, help you one whit. It's your reaction to those feelings and emotions that make sense for you.
Mm-hmm. I got a question.
I'm sensing some consistency here. Yes.
I got a question, Roger. That if I have a thought about something I consider fearful, and I feel a physical reaction, a tightening of the gut, or
isn't that an action?
So that is an action that the universe.
And your body, maybe not even the universe per se, at that point, it may be that, but your body certainly does react to that reaction.
Absolutely, and that is an action. That's a physical action.
That's right.
And then, in my own response to my physical action, I will take further action that may even then be clearer for the universe to respond to.
Correct. And then you may then live your life as a constant reaction to the reaction and etc., where you strengthened it to the point of that your life follows that reaction and then you react to that.
Raj, that's just like panic attacks, you know? If they tell you what it is, you don't react to it anymore, and then you can kind of get out of panic attacks.
I disagree with that. Could we go somewhere with this to another level? Judgments don't hurt you.
Yeah.
That's
what did you say?
Judgments don't hurt you.
Yeah.
And lack of judgments won't help you.
That's good. That's right. That makes sense. It's what you do or react relative to the lack of judgment or
so otherwise. You can make a judgment or you can make a, say, an error or a problem or a difficulty in thought. But not react to that in and of yourself, that doesn't make an effect in your body or in your life. The question is, if I come over there and hit you with a hammer, your feeling about me or your thoughts about me in doing that doesn't mean squat. Your judgment of me doesn't mean squat, but your action because of that means everything.
Okay.
Is this okay with you, Karen?
Yeah, making better sense to me now.
And does it then give you a focus relative to patients? It's not about what they believe or think or attitude or emotion. It's what they do about those beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, and emotions that are deadly.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really gives somebody some wiggle room. They don't have to constantly react every time they think they made a judgment. They can kind of decide what they want to do.
That's right. So our question is...
We always said that the event doesn't do anything but how I feel about the event.
That's right. So it's the feeling that in the same way the event has already occurred. Now we're back at the feeling. And then, of course, the next thing is how you act about that or upon that feeling. And then how the universe reacts to how you reacted to that.
Yes, yeah.
Well, we'll get into that, very importantly so, before this night's over. Okay. Well, then if that's the case, what is healing? Well, let's put it this way. There's two questions on the table that I'm putting on the table. What is healing, and what is symptom relief?
Mm-hmm.
We've said for 18 years, and everybody just sort of nods their head in agreement, and what I have said is, all healing as we do it today is merely symptom relief. Okay, then if this is true, what is healing, and what is symptom relief? From a genuine, authentic healer that doesn't do healing.
Do you mean, if, for example, if you, Roger, were to do healing, what would that healing be?
Anybody. What is anything about? What constitutes healing, and what constitutes symptom relief? This is, for this whole evening, that is, that question and answer from the very get-go is prime. It is absolutely the most important thing in your life. I've tried to put this across for 18 years and nobody wants to listen.
Could healing be helping people become aware of their reactions?
Okay, let's assume that. What is symptom relief?
Helping people be unaware of their reactions.
Not necessarily unaware. If I give you symptom relief and I take the problem away, the pain, affliction, and etc., all I've done is symptom relief because I have not dealt with your reaction to the difficulty.
Yeah.
And therefore I haven't pointed out your reaction. So
you haven't really resolved anything at all. Okay, let's assume you have a heart problem. We'll fix your heart murmur, whatever, but if we haven't dealt with how you are reacting to life and to yourself relative to the heart murmur, we haven't done squat.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, does symptom relief have anything to do with healing? Yes or no?
Are those the only choices, yes or no?
Well, give me that answer first, then we'll talk about yes or no.
Does symptom relief have anything to do with healing?
Yeah.
I'd like to separate them in two different categories for the purposes of clarity and say no, they're two different things.
Wait.
That's an insufficient answer. I'll take the no, but I won't yet take your, because there are two different symptoms or two different things. That's not acceptable. I'm looking for a yes or no, and then we will discuss.
Okay, then take my no. Yeah, no, they're not the same thing.
I say
they have nothing to do with each other.
No. Okay, what if I said yes, because...
Good for you.
symptom relief can be a handy doorway into helping me have a reason to talk to somebody.
I don't disagree with that, but then it's the talking with somebody that is the healing, not the doorway.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Yes, right.
But
so then can we say that symptom relief is simply addressing the body concerns, the physical body concerns, but not necessarily the personal concerns?
What if I say symptom relief is killing you?
What?
It does cover my beliefs and attitudes.
Yeah, what?
It covers only my beliefs and attitudes. They are still there and they do more of the same thing.
And your reactions to those beliefs and attitudes are still there, and you can't deal with them simply because you're saying, well, okay, I've got relief, so... The attitudes and reactions are obviously not there. That's not true.
No, they are still here, yes. No.
So symptom relief is killing you. And it, by God, remember that as we go along here in the next 2 hours. So, the healer you go to that gives you symptom relief is actually killing you. Hello?
So, just define killing me.
The problem still exists, and you're ignoring it like Nora, and then at 60-something or other, she dies of the illness.
Okay.
So, all you've done in symptom relief, then, is cover up the problem.
Yes, okay.
Right.
Yep.
So therefore...
We said that in asana massage all the way, all the time, yes.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but you guys flash out all these cliches that you've heard forever that people have said. There's none of them that are true.
That's right.
Can we say that cancer survivors are killing themselves?
Yes.
Why?
Because calling themselves a cancer survivor, they are perpetuating the being cancerous.
I'm a cancer survivor.
Yeah, but you don't go around telling everybody you're a cancer survivor.
Because I use the word cancer survivor simply because... we can say, okay, I had two cancers on my left hand, and etc. But then I said, now what the hell does that seem to say about what I am doing? And I changed to 2 years ago, everything I am doing, which you guys have never recognized, and saying, okay, it has nothing to do with sun on fair skin. It has to do with my reactions to what's going on in my life.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not a cancer survivor. I changed everything. I didn't survive cancer. Oh, well, yeah, sure, sure. I told the guy, the surgeon, cut big, cut around. I don't give a damn about scars on my hand.
You're a cancer catalyzer.
I'm a what?
Cancer catalyzer.
Miss M says I'm a cancer catalyzer. So all the cancer is in doing that is showing you, it appears that this is your what you're reacting to. If you don't change what you're reacting to, survival is not going to be part of you for very long.
Right.
Yeah.
So, if somebody comes to you as whatever or claims to be, I'm a cancer survivor, you're killing yourself. Is that okay?
You said, in a
sense, you treated the cancer like it was doing you a favor by helping you understand something. Whereas my experience of most people that call themselves cancer survivors is that they've survived this huge battle with this enormous enemy. And they wouldn't dream of thinking that the cancer had shown them something.
And that was Nora's problem. See, she wouldn't go there. Or even if she would go there, she wouldn't look at it from a large enough perspective to deal with it. Do you guys have any concept of the little concept that we're talking about here when we say these kinds of things?
I think so.
Can I go back to constitute healing?
Can you go back to what?
You asked before the question, what constitutes healing?
Yeah, what does constitute healing?
And can we say that healing takes place only in the eternal being and not in the personal, or?
Well, no, we're going to bring in the eternal self or eternal being in the sense that, why I ask you, do you guys have a sense of the process we just talked about? Of what you're doing to yourself in what we talked about? Let's leave it at that point. Is that okay, Simone?
Yes, that's okay.
Now can I say the following thing? If as a cancer survivor you're killing yourself, is it possible then that as a survivor in this life you are killing your eternal self?
Okay
with that? I don't want to put healing in the eternal self. What I want to do is to say the whole process that we're talking about, healing the body in itself and or symptom relief in your life today is killing your eternal self. Can you go there?
Let me see. Yeah, I will go there. I will. And I can even explain why. Yes.
Okay. Then my next question is, what to you is forever living about?
Living today, the self and life that I will live forever. I would truly desire to live forever and ever.
Too long.
Okay. That's an interesting point. Too long.
Too long. Too wordy.
Living today, the self and life I would live forever and ever. Too wordy?
Too wordy.
Okay, maybe it's about more life. Hey, how's that one?
You're what?
More life.
Okay, that's getting closer. Then anybody else want to tackle that? What is forever living about?
About forever.
About your eternal self.
Yes.
So then I'm not talking about your body, your life today. I don't give a damn about what you're so much. But yeah, I do, but I don't. What your life today is, as I said today, forever living is not a way to solve your problems or fix your mistakes in your life today at all. Forever living doesn't care about your life today per se. Forever living is about your eternal self. So, Simone, can you take these understandings and expand them to a patient's eternal self?
Yes.
You sure? When you are working on that patient, you are focused on that body, that patient today, right now.
I am focused maybe on the body, but in working on the body, I also work on the eternal self.
It doesn't do you. If you work on the eternal self, you're trying to give symptom relief to the eternal self. You aren't working on the individual's actions and reactions of eternal self.
Okay.
Shut your mouth and you're killing the patient.
But I always ask them about...
What?
I always ask about the beliefs and...
The point I am giving is, I still, though you are asking about those beliefs, I am willing to bet that you focus on those beliefs relative to your personal life today.
That can be true, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're killing your patients.
Yeah.
Your patients come to you for an act of killing. Is that the way it goes? come to me, I'll kill you easier than...
Pay for the death, yes. Yeah, it sounds so funny, but actually it is what it occurs sometimes. But when I speak about the eternal self, and that I awaken that in them, is that the same? No, this is making them aware, like Karen said it before. Be aware of beliefs and reactions, and that is awakening your eternal self, is it?
Wait a minute, not necessarily. Supposing you awaken my eternal self and say to me, well, this illness shows you ain't living that. Aren't you causing a reaction to what I'm not doing? And are you not in that then? Creating a bigger problem?
When I do it like this, yes.
Well, how do you do it when you don't do it like that?
One of my...
Tell them to the eternal self that they've already been living. Sorry. Good.
When I introduce them to my work, I always say that whatever I say is in a judgment-free room. It is only showing what they are doing and not judging what they are doing.
That doesn't matter whether you judge or not, they judge. They came to you because they have a problem. It doesn't matter what words you say to them about you're not judging them. The problem is they've already judged and reacted to their own judgments.
Uh-huh.
Now deal with that.
So.
Oh.
I always explain that judgment doesn't serve them.
Oh, it does. It does. There's no judgments at all that affect you. Hey, well then, do you see, now you have to deal, you guys have got to get your damn head and mind and actions out of all the crap you've heard. Judgments don't hurt you. Thoughts don't harm you. Lack of judgments won't fix you. But your reactions to your judgments are all important.
Right.
Yeah, you see?
So, this is what I have to explain, though.
Well, more than that.
Yeah, sure. But
so then if you're going to introduce somebody to their eternal self, how are you going to do that? Are you going to listen to Andrew?
Why would she listen to me? What did I do?
Yeah, why?
You
why
said show them that they are and how they are already living their eternal self. So why wouldn't she listen to you?
Well, she'd be wise to in that case.
That's right. So what have we been talking about since last August? Well, we've been talking about this for a long time, but especially since last seminar, gathering.
Bringing forth the 95% into it.
Too many words. See, this is not just
bringing
you.
Bringing eternal self about eternal self.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Then maybe giving you a different focus in your life would help you either not react to or more correctly and fully understand what you are doing in your life. Is that okay?
That sounds pretty good, actually, yes.
Is it okay with you, Karen?
Yeah.
So healing can be giving a different focus to. Yes.
Well, now we're going to get into the good, complicated part. Last week we said that after death is like waking up from a dream declaring, oh, it was only or just a muse. Let's use the word muse here. Like a dream in your life today, then your life today is like a muse to your eternal self. M-U-S-E there. You guys can look it up. Is that okay? Have we dragged you in this regard out of your physical life and world today and put you into an eternal self and say, oh, well, hell, that was just like a muse. Or like a dream. Is that okay?
Yeah. I think we said it last week that what if we come to the end this time and find ourselves, in a sense, waking up from a dream?
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
That your after death is like waking up from a dream.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
And that's what you're calling them.
What I'm saying.
What did you say, Karen? You're breaking up for me.
What he's calling the muse is waking up from the dream.
I'm waking up from the muse. Your life today is a muse. I don't want to use, the Buddhism does this, I don't want to use dream in such a way that it makes your life today a dream, a mental aberration. So, relative to your eternal self, your life today is a muse. It is a consideration. And as I would have you consider your dreams from an eternal perspective, I would have you consider your life today as a muse, a rumination, a consideration, an understanding, and etc. Is it possible then that your life today, relative to, are you, no, let me change that. Are you willing to live and understand your life today is but a muse for your eternal self?
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Well, I tell you, I get caught up on this little muse once in a while a lot.
That's right. But now I'm trying to...
In one thought.
I'm trying to not do like Buddhism does and says, well, then it's an illusion, it's not... No! It's a consideration. Could you see yourself, your eternal self, musing over your life today?
Yeah. Mm. Almost like running through a play or something. Well, what if this?
Wait a minute. Could you say that your dreams are of this, might be of the same ilk? What if this? How would I react to that? How would I respond to that? If everything turned to crap, like in my dreams, or turned to good, how would I respond to that? Is it any possibility that your life today is not a judgment, but is only a consideration?
Oh, that's a nice way to say yes, yeah.
We okay with this, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm following. It's really fascinating.
So we can say then that your life today as a muse is to your eternal self as your dreams are to your life today. Is that okay?
Yep.
And you seek to understand your dreams. If you seek to understand your dream, then that's different than judging yourself by your dreams. Is that correct?
Yes.
If this is okay so far, then as your dreams reveal the self and life you are creating and living, regardless of what you believe you are creating and living, your life today reveals the eternal self and life you are creating and living, regardless of what you believe or hope you are creating and living. Is that okay?
That definitely seems to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but is it okay to then look at your life today in the same context? It's like the universe seems to take a little pattern and then make the same pattern bigger and then make it bigger and bigger and bigger. But it's all the same pattern. So the pattern in your life of a dream is the pattern of in your eternal self and life as well, in the same ilk.
You just jumped from dream, my physical life dream, into that directly relating to eternal self.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And listen to this then, Patrick, as long as I got you on the phone. Your life and dreams are not a feedback system. They are a feed into system. Is that okay? And do you understand that? And anybody can jump in here.
Yes, I understand that. It is not a feedback system. It's a feed into system that then reacts and feeds back to me.
Well, finish it.
I feed in and the universe feeds back to me.
Finish it.
Gosh, I thought that was pretty complete.
Don't talk about complete. When you talk about complete, you're talking about beginnings and endings and linear time. Don't talk about complete.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about it this way.
Okay.
As your life today feeds into your dreams feed into your life today, which feeds into your eternal self and life, which feeds into your dreams, which feed into yourself and life today. Now do you understand what Forever Living is talking about?
I think I got a new perspective, yes.
Should I repeat that?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that your dreams feed back into you, but then you've ended it. And I'm saying, no, the universe finds a good process, it keeps using it. So, if we want to talk about your eternal self, and I do, then as your life today feeds into your dreams, the images and pictures in your dreams are about something in your life that you've lived so you would understand it. In that case, your dreams feed back into your life today. But your life today as a muse of your eternal self feeds into your eternal self and life, which feeds into your dreams, which completes the cycle and goes and feeds back into yourself and life today.
Wow.
We can continue that. There is no beginning part. It begins everywhere and ends nowhere.
Did I hear that correct? It begins everywhere and ends nowhere.
It's like the circumference of a circle. You can take a point and say this is the beginning, but you can't conclude anything about an ending. If you can even begin to understand that cycle, you got to begin to understand that. Without an awareness of your eternal self, you just put the screws to everything.
So that's another way of talking about the universe reigns and puts the fallacy to the Big Bang.
Well, I'm working back the other way in all of this and saying that because there was no beginning in the first place, you can start anywhere and there is no ending. But if there is a beginning, like a Big Bang, or if it's God or whatever, then according to our language, there must be an ending. The only way you can live as an eternal being is you must get rid of beginnings.
Isn't that bloody essential?
Of course it is. And next week or a week after or sometime in here, I'm writing a pericope on investigating the beginning stories of all the religions that I can think of, and I've covered just about everybody, and they all begin with God in one form or another. Even Buddhism, who claims, oh, we don't have a God, has a beginning story that includes gods, plural. And all Buddhism is saying is, well, yeah, we have gods, but we don't espouse one god over another god. It doesn't make any difference. God is the beginning source of every story, of every religion, of every belief that I've been able to find. Including the Big Bang, because the Big Bang is then a causal god.
Mm-hmm.
And that permeates every aspect of your life today.
And since there's a beginning, there has to be an end, and I don't want it.
That's right. So, instead of dealing with how do I keep from ending, stop beginning. You're dealing with the wrong end. Well, let me repeat what I just said. As your life today feeds into your dreams feed into your life today, which feeds into your eternal self and life, which feeds back into your dreams, which feeds into yourself and life today. Okay. This is kind of like the man, you've heard this story, the man who awakened from dreaming about being a butterfly and couldn't tell whether he was a man dreaming he was a butterfly or he was a butterfly dreaming he was a man. Well, let's look at it from this perspective we follow. In awakening after death, will you be able to tell whether you are a personal being still dreaming you are becoming an eternal being, or an eternal being dreaming you are a personal being? And if we say, well, gosh, I'd like to know that I'm an eternal being, dreaming that I am a personal being. That's our musing, that considering or ruminating over myself as a personal being. Wouldn't that be most desirable?
Does it matter?
Yes.
Knowing that I'm a personal being dreaming of an eternal being,
you are a personal being dreaming that you are becoming an eternal being. Which would you choose?
Say that again, please. What was I doing?
Would you in awakening after death, will you be able to tell whether you are a personal being still dreaming that you are becoming an eternal being, or you are an eternal being dreaming you are a personal being? Which would you choose?
The second one.
So, I am assuming, Karen, Pat, Andrew, and anybody else living in, that you would like to know that you are an eternal being and the life today is merely a muse of your eternal self. Is that a reasonable assumption?
It would appear to be, yes.
Yep, I'm on board with that, definitely.
Then, whichever you choose, are you willing to be that completely in your life today?
That's fascinating, yes.
Well, I mean, yes. Let me change it. I mean, more than willing, are you going to do that?
Yes, I'm going to do that. This whole idea about my life today being a muse of my eternal self, I don't know why, that helps me. Yes.
It does.
I'm gonna do it.
It does.
I'm doing it already.
Because, like, it may surprise you, there are a lot of things in your dream. If you've got an illness in your dreams, do you heal it? But you've got the least little bit of illness in your life today, instead of understanding it, you try to heal it and go on. Why would you do one thing in your dreams and do something different in the muse of yourself?
I want to ask the question there. You originally asked, and we chose door number two, and that is an eternal being dreaming of being a personal being. And then Andrew said he'd rather be the muse or an eternal being?
Same thing.
Okay.
Different words. All right. Different words, same thing. Now here is the catcher phrase here. Is it possible that on focusing on yourself and life today, without dealing with your eternal self, that is merely symptom relief?
Can you ask that again, please?
Is it possible that focusing on yourself and life today without dealing with your eternal self, that is merely symptom relief?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So that when you leave your eternal self out of your considerations of yourself and life today, the best, no matter that you're doing or how you live or solve your problems in your life today, it's merely symptom relief. And from the first question, we can say there's a hell of a big difference between healing, living as I truly desire, or whatever, and symptom relief. Then that applies in your life today if you do not consider your life today relative to your eternal self. Everything you do in your life today in any regard is merely, well, symptom relief. Wait a minute. If that's the case, symptom relief is killing your eternal self.
I want to check the coverage of the language you just used, that no matter what we do relative to our physical life, it is merely symptom relief.
No, I didn't say that.
Then can you repeat yourself? Because I may have...
I said, is it possible that focusing on yourself and life today, no matter what you do today... Now here's the catch. Without dealing with your eternal self, that it is merely symptom relief. That's kind of like having an illness or a problem and say, doctor, heal me. I need some symptom relief, but you haven't dealt with yourself. Then on the expanded scale, if you don't deal with anything you do in your life today, if you do not consider in any regard your eternal self, then no matter what you do, it's merely only symptom relief. Is that okay?
Well, I'm puzzling a bit.
Why?
Translating the affairs of Caesar, we pay Caesar, Caesar's due. That in the process of earning the crown or the coin of the realm in order to pay Caesar, you're suggesting then that in all of that, I undertake activity and action that takes into consideration my eternal being.
I think for a moment you said it the hard way, but okay, now what?
So then that gets back then to the basic forever living test.
Well, let me ask you a question before we go there.
Yeah.
Is it possible for you to consider that you haven't done one positive thing in your life, ever?
Positive means doing something in full consideration of my eternal self, then
no,
yes.
I mean that everything that you do in your life today is an attempt to overcome your emotions or feelings of unhappiness, unfulfillment, unjoy, unpleasure, etc. Everything you're either trying to do is to fix that, solve that, resolve that, and you haven't done one goddamn positive thing in your life ever.
Okay.
I see.
Even if you're saying you're doing this, especially if you're doing this because God says you're supposed to do it, you're learning, growing, developing. This is what you must do. You can, no matter where you go, you can't tell me in that regard, absent the eternal self, any positive thing in your life that you are doing.
Then how does an architect take into consideration his eternal being when he's working with a client? I'm just asking for an illustration, please.
No, I know, but you're asking it the hard way. Is it possible for the architect to only deal with his clients, let's say, self-evidentingly so, no matter what he does?
Okay, I think I know what that means, yeah.
In other words, he's not making decisions to gain. I had to cut my fees time and time and time again. It wasn't to gain money or to gain name or fame and etc. This is who I am, and this is what I do for my clients. Or this is who I am, and I have that, then I can honestly and fully deal with my clients, can I not?
Yes.
If I don't know myself or living myself as an eternal being, self-evidentingly so, then everything I do is suspicious.
Yeah, it's to overcome, it's to gain, it's to block, it's to prevent, it's to something or other.
As I've said before, because of language, the negative always governs.
Mm-hmm.
If I help somebody and do great deeds, it's only because I think it's good for me to do that, and that I'll gain from that. Mother Teresa says, I'll get my benefits in heaven. Billy Graham says, well, I sure hope that when I meet the Lord, he says, well, you've been a good and faithful servant.
It's in his best interest to live it the way he's doing it.
That's right. Now the question is, can you live your life as an eternal being in such a way that you're not doing everything to overcome, solve, resolve, or fix, or relieve the symptoms? My life is meaningless. I gotta do something.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well then, let's repeat that. Is it possible that focusing on yourself and life today without dealing with your eternal self, and that doesn't mean when I say focusing, I mean it doesn't matter what you do. If you're not dealing with your eternal self, that's merely symptom relief. And like a cancer survivor, if you survive your problems in life, you do not survive. What then?
So when you say if you're not dealing with or taking into consideration, what does that look like?
You tell me.
Well, it would seem that in having an emprise, then everything that I see and do and action, and that emprise would reflect my eternalness.
Well, what we're saying, as I've said before, is if you're an eternal being, is it possible for you to say then that no matter what you do, emprise or otherwise, that you would only do those things that an eternal being would be willing to do and have done unto him eternally?
So that's
dealing with it or taking it into consideration. So it's far more active than dealing with it and taking it into consideration.
That's right. So you're actually acting out or doing or et cetera as an eternal being would be doing.
Yeah, I get that. Okay.
All the Emprise does is begin to show you a constancy and a continuousness.
Yeah.
So that then you can personally identify your eternal self is not this all ever everything. Your eternal self is as particular as you make it be, or it isn't. It isn't all Omni. Mr. Omni is nothing.
So the bottom line here is living always as an eternal being.
Well, not necessarily. You got the choice. You don't have to do that. You can say, oh, I'm becoming. I'm saying, hey, wait a minute here. Jesus told you what's going to happen after death, but you had to get there first. And Buddha tried to do the same thing. And he tried to manipulate yourself in life today. And the Hindu gods did the same thing. And Muhammad did the same thing. Wait a minute. I don't say, wait until after death and you get your rewards. Do it so that it is you today. If you want to be an eternal being, what are you waiting for?
Be it and live it.
Is it possible then that if you live it in a certain way, the universe has a way to react in that regard and show you that that's who you are?
I think that's quite possible, yes.
And the Emprise then allows you to have a consistent awareness that says, well, yeah, I guess the hell I am.
There I am again. Yeah.
Are you killing your eternal self and life today with symptom relief? What you are doing is mere, if what you are doing is merely relief of the symptoms of unhappiness, disappointment, distress, meaningless, what the hell's going on? I don't know what my life's about. If in any way, then in that you are killing your eternal self.
Is it killing it or killing it as far as I'm concerned as a personal being?
I'm going to say it's killing it. I'm not even going to give you the right to say, well, okay, so I've killed it because I don't know it, but it's still there. No, you're killing it.
Wow.
Because what you do, if you would say, oh, well, yeah, sure, but it's always there. Oh, no, it is not. That's why I said is that the personal self creates the eternal self. If you don't create the eternal self, you just killed it by neglect.
And there's not a hell of a lot of continuing, is there?
No. And so it doesn't do you any good to say, oh, well, I'll be a good and faithful servant, and then when I die, the universe will show me to my eternal self. That's not true. What if that's really, really, really not true?
Well, the what if is, I guess, there seems to be in my self-interest to start paying attention here and living and creating the eternal self that I desire.
God damn it, that's what forever living is all about. And if we want to consider, and now I'm going to have to go back to Karen. Considering all the things we've talked about and symptom relief, do you understand that medicine is not concerned with you?
Medicine is concerned with the symptoms.
No, no. Medicine is not concerned with the symptoms. Medicine doesn't give a shit about you or the symptoms.
Okay, what does medicine give a shit about?
Nothing.
Okay.
Is that okay?
All right, yep.
By not, in other words, would you like medicine to be concerned with you? And we all say, oh, well, yeah, you know, I want medicine to help me, heal me, fix me, etc. Is it possible for you to consider that if medicine was concerned with you, that concern judges you and limits medicine?
It would have to.
Aha! You see? So medicine doesn't give a dang. And it's only in, wait a minute, it's only in not giving a ding-dong that medicine can be absolutely reliable.
Right. Kind of like the universe.
Kind of like God. We okay? If the universe cared about you, it would have to be judgmental and limit the universe. If God cared about you, if there is a God, in any case, it would judge you and limit you. That's why I said, if God is unconditionally loving, then he doesn't give a shit. Medicine doesn't care. Is it possible that your caring in life destroys you and limits you?
Oh, yeah.
How about your caring about your mother and your siblings?
Yeah, well, yep.
Yeah.
Who would advocate don't care about your family? That's the only loving thing to be and do.
Roger would.
That's right. Who else? Even the Dalai Lama, Mr. Number One and spiritual guy in the world on the pole, etc., is be loving and compassionate. Being loving and compassionate in that regard is caring, and caring limits you and creates judgments which further limit you. Is that okay?
Yep.
Yes.
Can we then say that your judgments do not and cannot hurt you? And in the same way, do not and cannot hurt you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What, Simone?
We can apply the same like medicine.
No, we're not talking about medicine now, we're talking about you. How is it that your judgments do not and cannot hurt you?
They are only thoughts and not actions.
So then, it is, what hurts you is the actions you take because of your judgments.
Right.
And it's only the actions in yourself or the actions in the world or the world around you that then hurt you, not the judgments per se. So you don't need to end your judgments. You need to consider your actions because of your judgments.
Okay.
Is that okay with everybody else?
Yep.
Shall we quit there?
Really? Oh, man, I was just going to say, you're doing so well.
Well, of course I'm doing well. But...
okay.
That was what I scribbled out today for tonight. And it's either then go back to page 18 of where we were about 5 weeks ago and go on from that. Or, I don't have a whole lot more to say about this right now. What I said...
I would rather not change the subject tonight.
That's right. So then does anybody want to talk about what we've gone to the end of my page 3 of the outline? So does anybody want to talk about any of this? How does this or how could this possibly affect your life? If you are living your eternal self today in a certain way, can I say then I can predict that your life after death will be of the same ilk?
I think you can say that.
Yeah.
And that for sure. The universe has reacted. Now, when we say reacted to, the universe reacts every single moment to every single tiny, tiny, tiny action. It doesn't save up. You can't save up and say, okay, Mr. Rowley Universe, now I want you to react to this. And it doesn't save up reaction and lay the reactions back on top of you. It's every moment. It's kind of like cancer. It's every little moment for 20 years, in most cases.
Okay.
And that's why it doesn't hurt, so you keep on doing the same damn thing until all of a sudden, now you've got heart, stomach, bladder, whatever, problems, because you have to look at every moment of everything you do.
Right, yeah.
Is it then from that, do you understand when I say you command the universe?
Yeah,
you think you are unempowered. You think, oh, I can't get the universe to obey me. I'm a little nothing. That's not true. If you personify the universe and give it sentientness or intentions to act against you, then that's the problem you're into. But the universe itself, and like medicine, it doesn't care. The universe will rain on the good and the bad, and medicine will heal the good and the bad. It doesn't judge that. But you command the universe relative to your actions, not the judgments per se.
Got a question, Raj. Have you ever experienced fear, and I mean other than, you know, grizzly bear charging out of the bush or something like that?
Not that I can ever remember.
That might be foreign to you.
Well, my ex-wife didn't deal with that. She got pissed off because I had never been depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I've been discouraged at times or disappointed at times, but I've never been depressed. And I cannot remember. I've been in 25 automobile accidents. I've rolled 3 cars. I've been thrown out of a car into the pathway of the other car that was coming. But I've never really experienced fear in the sense that everybody else talks about. I've had a shotgun put under my chin. you name it, I've had a lot of this stuff occur, but I can't say that I've ever experienced fear. Okay, well.
Hey, no, I'm sorry, Roger, just letting that go. I have, like, on a slightly different subject here. Since what we brought up tonight, now I'm thinking, like, okay, so thoughts, good thoughts, bad thoughts, whatever, no thoughts can affect me, whatever, my health or anything like that. Thought is not a thing. The universe reacts to what I do, my action, okay? My starting to wonder from what we were talking last week, you know, as I recall, we were saying, so data A and data B are not things. They're sort of things that are not really a thing. But when they interact, then that creates memory, and memory is a something. Does the universe react to memory is my question.
Not the way you ask the question. It has to be an action that grows from memory.
Okay, so, yeah, that makes sense. So memory is, in and of itself, essentially is inert, but I can put it together and I can act with it and upon it.
There you go. You act upon it, or then from memory, which exists within all material items or aspects of life, that the aspects of life can respond relative to memory in such a way, but it's not the memory that is important, it's the reaction.
All right. Thank you. That was a loose thread I had for tonight. Oh, that's great.
That's it?
That seems to be it.
Well, all you eternal beings best get off and have some, what do you call it, musings on this stuff.
That's right.
Oh, hey. Further musings.
No,
it's
you're...
earlier, which means living. Which means living, this stuff. Or did I just box it all up?
Okay, well, that's it then. We'll leave it there. No sense in going into another subject at this point.